We will begin our agenda with Shelley. Morning.
I deposited things up at your desk so you can view along with me. I'm Shelley Walpe. I'm the director at Catholic Social Services, and it's been our privilege at Catholic Social Services to contract for the last 3 years with the Butler County Family and Children First Council to serve as producers for the Butler County Commissioners Forum on Families and Children. For the past 7 years, through the leadership and vision of the commissioners and with generous funding from the Butler County Department of Job and Family Services, we have been able to provide Butler County families, teens, the faith community, educators, and human service professionals with high-quality educational and training opportunities from speakers with national and regional reputations. This year's theme for the 7th Forum is Creating Resiliency, Promoting Recovery. If you'll recall, last year we introduced the topic of resiliency, and this year we'll continue to educate the community about the protective factors and risks that impact an individual's likelihood of being resilient, or what we call bouncing back from adversity. Special focus this year will also be given to chemical dependency and substance abuse as it relates to prevention, intervention, and recovery for individuals in our community. Some of the highlights of this year's forum: we will have 14 events that are scheduled from September 13th through October 27th at venues throughout Butler County. Targeted audiences this year include teenagers, school personnel, human service providers, including case managers, counselors, prevention specialists, members of the faith community, parents, foster parents, and caregivers, and law enforcement personnel. We're really excited that our kickoff event on September 13th will feature Dr. Dennis Embry of the Paxis Institute in Tucson, Arizona. He's a very dynamic speaker, a psychologist, a teacher, and an author who will share ways that communities can dramatically improve child and youth development. His work provides practical tools to teach others how to overcome family and personal risk factors to achieve great things. New forum events for this year include a terrific partnership with the Grand Masonic Lodge of Ohio, who are underwriting a 3-day training of school personnel in the Masonic Model Student Assistance Program. The goal of this intensive training is to provide school personnel with information in areas of prevention, intervention, and recovery regarding alcohol and drug issues, as well as teen suicide and depression. The Talawanda School District has already been involved in this program and is seeing really good results, and we wanted to make this available to all other school districts in Butler County. Core teams will be representing all Butler County school districts. Later in September, Dr. Mark Katz, the author of On Playing a Poor Hand Well, will continue our work in resiliency, explaining how some people beat the odds to overcome obstacles and lead successful, productive lives. A local professional, Patty Holmes from Oxford, who some of you may be familiar with, will energize and renew human service providers in early October at a workshop which will inspire them to build personal resilience. Since it's being held here at the Government Services Center, you just might want to register for that one. Alan Barger will come to Butler County twice in October to work with both parents and professionals around understanding chemical dependency and addiction and sharing a program called Prime for Life, which several organizations in our community are adopting and investing in as a way of intervening with individuals and families impacted by substance abuse issues. The forum will also continue positive initiatives it began years ago, including Teens Leading Teens, which is a day-long leadership event at Camp Campbellgard and Hamilton High School for select ninth graders from throughout the county who are led by area juniors and seniors from high school who have been trained at the J. Kyle Braid Camp. We will continue with Touch Points, a two-day training for parents and professionals in pediatrician Dr. T. Barry Brazelton's model of child development, which helps both parents and providers relate better to the child and the parent by more clearly understanding development. One of the things that I get very excited about, because my passion is working with parents, the forum will be sponsoring four separate family nights at sites throughout the county which are familiar to people in their own communities. These are opportunities where parents and children interact together in both a fun and informative way. One note that I wanted to share with you about youth development and our focus on asset youth development: if you just look at the brochures that we provided with you, the artwork on the cover of this year's brochure was completed by a young man, Evan Mulcahy, who is a graphic design student at Butler Tech. We have really tried to engage so many different people from throughout the community in both the planning process and the implementation of the forum. As always, the opportunities for quality learning are very apparent in the planning for this year's forum. There truly is something for everyone in our community to participate in. Events are free for all those who live or work in Butler County. After this announcement today, registration will go online through the Butler County Educational Service Center website, and we will also have a link to your website. I'd like to thank at this time Pam Mortensen, who is the project director for the forum, and Sharon Custer, who's the training coordinator, for their extensive efforts in pulling this together. I need for you to realize that there are many, many committees that work on this to pull these events together to make this very cost-effective as well as inclusive. Each year on the planning committee, we think the forum gets better and better. I'm thrilled to not only announce this year's event, but if you flip to the back side of your brochure, something that makes me very happy is sharing that there are 29 partner organizations who are sponsors for this year's events. Sponsors provide staff, space, or resources to make the forum successful. The forum is a true model of collaborative work that you can be very proud of. We welcome your input, your participation, and thank you for your vision and leadership in this project. And we hope to see you at the kickoff event on September 13th. The packets that I've left you, I left a big packet of brochures. I was hoping you could put those on your counter upstairs on your floor. And I've left some on this tray.
Great. Well, Shelley, thank you very much for your report. And it looks very energetic and very worthwhile. How do you get parents involved? And with the, in the parent program, it goes like a two-day seminar for parents. How does a parent get off work to do that? Do we make some type of accommodations with
What we've done, there's a variety of events that parents, you'll see the little leaves next to the thing in the brochure that indicate target audiences. Parents are welcome to attend all these events, certainly they'd have to make some arrangements if they'd have to get off work. But we have parents who are interested. That one you might be speaking of is the two-day touch point training. Mm-hmm. Although that might be targeted more for professionals, there are parents who participate in that training. And they make the arrangements necessary to do so. The family nights are scheduled either on Saturdays or evening events to accommodate parents. You'll also note it's in the, I'd have to look at the date, October 10th, Behavior Management, a Guide for Child Care Providers and Parents. That's an evening session. So we've tried to accommodate people, different target audiences, by offering events at different times that are easier for them to attend. Another way that we really get parents involved is we have parents involved in every aspect of the planning for these events. And that's probably our best marketing tool. The people that we engage in the planning process draw a lot of the audience to the events. So that's been very worthwhile.
Do you have you discussed transportation to these events for parents that
We have discussed transportation for these events, but we're really trying to be conscious of our budget also. With particular organizations, we make arrangements where possible. Head Start usually does some special things for the population they serve to make access easier. That's also a real target in having events in specific communities so that people have easier access to the events.
Something like if if I'm a parent but I don't have transportation, there's there some place that they could call to possibly
For information, there's a number, 785-5177, that we can address people's questions. Child care, at all the events where parents are targeted, child care, licensed child care is available for those folks.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Anyone else?
Yeah, Mr. President, along the lines of Commissioner Jolivet, do we have any, and Bruce may be the better person to answer this, is there anything we can do to incentivize clients to attend particular sessions? In other words, can we use any of our state and federal funds to say, if you come, we'll give you XYZ benefit?
There have been trinkets in the past that we've been able to make available to people. Some of them have been available at the county fair, and some other literature and other information that's helpful. But there's nothing we can do in terms of cash or cash equivalents.
I mean, do you have the, I mean, if you wanted to give them $100 and just wanted to pay them to come to events that we wanted to make sure they heard, that would help them be better parents. Could we do that? I'm not saying we should. I'm just asking the question policy. I mean, legally, could we?
I think it would be difficult, if not impossible. I couldn't tell you for sure whether we can do that.
And then the next question is, on the line of the trinkets, could we, it might be worthwhile to at least try to approach somebody like Kroger's or some of the, local Myers or whatever, and, get $100 or some amount of food stamp, coupon values.
Vouchers,
that's what I was trying, thank you. To get them, the whole concept I have is like, parenting points. It was just kind of double in time. We want you to be better. The value that the community gets, the taxpayer gets from people being better parents, particularly some of our target audiences, is very great. So the return on that investment has value that's continuing over time. And this population is one of the most difficult to reach. For a whole list of reasons, one of which is what Commissioner Jolivet brought up on the transportation. So that's something that is a critical barrier, as you all know. You might take a pass at some of the local vendors to say, okay, you might go to P&G, for example, and get them to partner with Pampers or whatever it is they produce, some of their products. And things that they would otherwise have to buy. In fact, P&G may be a great, you get a whole basket of things that if you are a client that falls into this, a parent that falls into these categories, then you are eligible to get this and then get the word out to them.
I think that's an excellent idea. I just wanted to comment, our parent nights, we have learned too, how do we include parents? We've done daytime, nighttime activities. Parents are busy people and they make choices about what they want to participate in. We've found one of the most effective ways to get parents to engage is to involve them in the planning process. They become invested, they market the event. Having things instead of one central location, having things in people's own community where they're familiar and comfortable going. Many of our groups, you'll notice there's a Church of the Nazarene in Middletown that's sponsoring one of our family nights. Oh, Monroe, I'm sorry, the Monroe Church of the Nazarene. They are working with local vendors. Last year, one of the schools that sponsored a family night worked with a local Subway who provided all the meals for the participants. So in individual events, I believe that we are working with a lot of local or area business people to get them to be participants, engage them in the process. But our most effective tool in engaging parents has been engaging them in the planning process. Instead of saying what we think parents need, we ask parents what they want, and we provide that for them. This was the response that we got. Parents really want to do stuff. They don't want just a separate educational thing. They don't want to be lectured to. They want to engage in something interactive with their school-age children. And we really think that promotes the asset development and spending some quality time with their kids. So that was a really effective technique.
That.
Correct.
You're doing that.
Yeah.
Now, I'll give, I'll just use myself as an example. When we get into these, we're all pretty involved in this. And so we get into that season where these are occurring. I'll get a call from Joe Lynn or somebody. I say, where were you? I forgot, you know. And those of us that are actually watching it, I mean, the fact of the matter is, as you go through your life, there, on any given day, there's lots of things competing for your time and attention. Another thing you might consider, and you probably could use your resources, I don't know, but there are these computer phone services that, you know, if I want to tell somebody about an event or a time for 15 cents a call, in one day, I could call every resident in Butler County, every household. If I call 100,000 households, it's 10 cents a call. And it's just a recorded message. I mean, you know, it's one of those recorded messages. Now, if they've got answering machines and then they don't answer the phone, it goes on the answering machine. But you might, in other words, timeliness of, hey, by the way, you know, somebody will see an ad or they'll see an article and they'll say, gee, I want to go to that. And then they just, again, you can be specific in your targeting. So you may say, well, I want to target every household in the 45011 zip code that has incomes of less than X. And these companies will say, okay, in that zip code there are 8,000 households for which we have telephone numbers that meet that criteria. And, you know, for less than $1,000 or right around $1,000, you get the message out. So, I mean, what I'm saying is every year you invest a lot of time, invest a lot of money in this, and ultimately the question is how many people can we drive to that meeting to hear the message? Same thing of teachers. There are a lot of teacher events. Well, you know, if you go out to ECS or wherever, somebody's got a list of every teacher and their phone number in the county. And teachers are incredibly busy. But if they get that, just that reminder note, just a couple days before the, you know, we just want to remind you that there's a session on how to be a better teacher on blank dealing with these kids. The return on that may, you know, we've tried lots of different things through the years, but it's always, the material is so good, and the value you get from the time invested is so extraordinarily good. You sit there and you say, gosh, I wish more people could hear this. Mm-hmm. So anyway, whatever on the marketing side, the targeting of the marketing, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
Well, take, for example, how much are we putting into the, you know, that program we've got in the schools?
School supplies?
Project Success or?
Project Success. Wait a minute. That's the thing that the partnership we're doing with the schools.
Yes.
Maybe through that, you you're probably already doing that, but through that network, getting your social workers to actually contact those families. The school supply thing, maybe we put a flyer in each of those school supply packs. Maybe you already do that stuff, but my point is those types of things.
Chuck? Mr. President, I was thinking that instead of actually paying the people to come, use that money possibly for transportation. Is there something there we could do for, I notice they have special programs through the transit authorities to for shopping or whatever, $3 a round trip or something, but if we could let them know that we could possibly supply the transportation or support the transportation. There, I'm sure there are many that need the transportation, so that's something we could consider as well.
Well, thank you very
much. Thank you for those ideas. Look forward to seeing you in the next few weeks.
Okay. Thank you. Dave?
Oh, that was that the one that was the...
You went to the Reds game last
week? The dramatic finish?
The what?
Was that the one with the dramatic finish?
Oh, yeah.
Good for good or
no? Oh, yeah. Two-run walk-off home run.
Oh. A bobblehead night?
This is the Sanctuary of Liberty. This is actually a replat. They are moving one of the drainage easements to the house on the lot.
Moved up, right?
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Galder?
Yes.
How old are your kids now?
6 and 3.
Oh, is that first grade?
Yeah, first grade. All day this year. The second item I have for approval is Cooper Meadows subdivision. This is in Westchester Township. This is 41 lots.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Mr. Galder?
Yes. Part of this was part of communication. That wasn't. So why don't you do it? No communication. Why don't you add it on?
Okay, Commissioners, communications under travel and training, grand salary adjustment of building and zoning employee, approve suspension of deputy dog warden, approve resignation of Butler Planning Department intern, approve 3 care facility actions, ratify a collective bargaining agreement for care facility under county engineer, receive and refer bids for Allison Avenue East Ridge culvert replacement, exchange bonds for Blackstone Estate Section 1A and Summerline Section C, receive and refer bids for contract 615 for retrace of various roads, advertise for bids for contract number 618, exchange bonds for Blackstone Estates Block B, stormwater management, set hearings in Westchester and Liberty Townships, advertise for bids for contract 617, award con. I'm going to pull 18 because I've missed that one. Environmental services, water and sewer extension for City of Monroe. Advertise for bids for contract 6B5. Approve and execute agreement for easements of Zetron Sewer Lift Station. Approve change order number 1 to New Miami 7 Mile Avenue Lift Station. Amend 2 resolutions, approve change orders for New Miami Water Reclamation Facility, Trenton Lift Station, Upper Mill Creek Water Reclamation Facility, and Princeton Road Water Right Replacement. Award contract for analytical and sampling services to Belmont Labs. Amend resolution adopted August 3rd for water main replacement. Under finance, approve transfers and appropriations. Increase budget for Record Center. Approve issuance of bond anticipation notes for improvements on Cincinnati Dayton Road. Under Job and Family Services, approve contract with Butler County Mental Health Board with Lifespan and receive their payroll. Under miscellaneous, approve reimbursements for EMA CERT classes, receive and refer bids for contract 6812, award project number CDBG 67 to WG Stang. Receive, ratify plans and specs for sewer improvement in Liberty, Fairfield Road, Milliken Road. Approve revised plans for Butler County Sewer District, establish Liberty Fairfield Milken Road Sewer Improvement Area, and one to add would be authorize sheriff to enter an agreement with Immigration Control Enforcement Agency.
With no changes, I move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
And Commissioner Jalabak?
Yes. Thank you.
Jeff, have anything you want to say?
Yeah. Jeff, did you want to...
Why don't you give us a quick summary of what's
going on? Basically, the federal government passed a law back in 1996 that allows local law enforcement to enter into an agreement with the federal government to enforce immigration law. And they're offering to come up here, send an officer, one of their officers here, to Butler County, to our training center, to train 10 of our deputies under Title VIII. Immigration law. The sheriff has agreed to enter into a task force with the local ICE office and to house the prisoners that are arrested in this area. Generally, when we house a prisoner for ICE, for immigration, it's a short period of time because they're transferred up north. Most of them go up to Cleveland where they stand trial up there. But the training should last around 5 weeks for a for officers that will receive power of arrest. It's a four-week course for the correction officers that'll be able to cite them into court as they come into the jail, regardless of what agency they come from, if it's found that, they're in violation or there's a warrant for their arrest by the federal government. They'll supply the sheriff's office with all the necessary computer hardware and software and a biometric system to identify aliens, whether legal or illegal. The training, we've requested that it start by November the 1st. That's just a request. We haven't heard back from them yet on that issue. It shouldn't be any cost to the sheriff's office for training other than the deputies that, you know, while the training's going on, you have to pay for them while they're in the training. It will not be a full-time task force where these 10 officers are solely dedicated to immigration issues. It'll be a as-needed roundups. If there's a task force that's created, they'll be involved in the roundups and things like that. But it won't be a 24-hour, three-shift. It'll be as needed.
Mr. President, you say, I want to clarify one thing. When you say roundups, those would be in cooperation with the Immigration Naturalization Service.
That's correct. Any?
Yeah, we're not going to be going out and just rounding folks up, standing on the corner. I want to make sure that that we understand that. And, Mr. President, or Derek, I want to ask, what the resolution that I had, is that part of the communications?
Yes, did that.
Okay. And I noticed it was late. There's a couple typos in here.
We cleaned it up. I have the official.
Okay, good. The other thing I wanted to point out is the memorandum of understanding is negotiated between the county, and in this case, we're authorizing the sheriff to do that, and the Justice Department or ICE.
Correct.
And that will define the terms and conditions under which the locally trained officers can operate, correct?
That's correct.
So they will work in conjunction with ICE, in partnership with ICE, pursuant to that training and that agreement that the county ends up signing with them.
That's correct.
So they're not going to be deputized in the sense of just go out and do your thing. That is going to be coordinated through and under the jurisdiction of ICE.
That's correct.
So I wanted to make those things clear, is that as we've talked about this issue all along, and I know Commissioner Furman has expressed this on a number of occasions, and I happen to agree with him, is that the as we've sorted through the enforcement piece of this, if you will, as we started this issue in the discussion in October and we've come forward, it's under this section of the law that the feds have allowed communities to come forward and say, look, we want to partner with you. There are only 5,700 ICE agents in the whole country. There are 12 to 20 million illegal immigrants in the country, and you've got 5,700 agents that are trying to enforce the laws. And there are 800,000 local law enforcement agents, if you will, police and so forth. So clearly, if we're serious about focusing on enforcement of immigration laws, the partnership between the federal government and local and state governments is an essential way to do that effectively. ICE, the fact that the sheriff has been having those conversations not only with the local folks but with also people in Washington, and I think that we're going to be seeing, I know there have been discussions about working with them to provide space, as you mentioned in your remarks, for folks in transit.
Right.
I think that is a good thing for the county and also for this country. The other thing I want to point out is that we, no matter how many times we say this, the critics always seem to accuse it of occurring. There have not been, nor are there going to be, quote, roundups where people are indiscriminately, you know, pulled over and on the street corner and so forth. The primary focus, and I think the sheriff's focus, and I think the focus that should be, is on employers that are hiring people that are doing it illegally. Personally, and as this thing evolves, I'm going to be coming back, and I've been discussing this for my colleagues. Like, I want to come back and been working with some of the interfaith groups and others. There are a lot of immigrants that are here illegally who are incredibly abused in the workplace. I've got stories where they are, they've been put on construction jobs and other jobs, and when it comes time to pay them, the subcontractor says, not going to pay you, good luck, you can't complain any place because you're illegal. I had conversations with the sheriff about this. He's on board. We're trying to work out a mechanism where we can create, I'd like to come back and propose a whistleblower program, if you will, so that anyone who has been treated unfairly or illegally, and the theory of this is, well, where are they going to go? You're illegal, so, and they don't have anybody to complain to if they don't get their workers' comp or they don't get their overtime, if they work overtime. Mm-hmm. And to create a mechanism, there's a group in Cincinnati, a not-for-profit, led by a fellow named Don Sherman, that they try to go into court and help, you know, remedy these problems. But I'd like to merge them. I'd like to have discussions with the prosecutor's office. So with somebody, so we could say to them, look, if you are being mistreated, you turn in the employer that is doing that and invite, it's kind of a perverse way of getting at enforcement, but you're inviting the folks that are here illegally to turn in the folks who are hiring them illegally and treating them illegally, if you will. It's kind of a strange circumstance, but nonetheless, once you guys are deputized to that effect, we can work more effectively with ICE. So you tell that person, complain, look, we're not going to bother you. We're going to give you amnesty, if you will, or I hate to use that word in the context of this discussion, but we're not going to prosecute you. We're going to leave you alone. We're more interested in that employer that's not only mistreating that worker, but is unfairly imposing costs on the taxpayer and on other employers who are trying to play by the rules. I mean, you got people going out of business because employers out there are not playing by the rules. And I'll end this part with this point is, we have Dave Wilkerson here from the Carpenters, and they had a program there's a program in Dayton where the city of Dayton just required registration of subcontractors on anyone doing work for the city. And as a result of that, and all they had, not licensing, just tell us, if you're going to do work, public work, you just register the names of your subcontractors. So once they registered them, then they could go and say, well, let me see your payroll records. And the year after they, then this was just for work, not in the city, just for the city. But as a result of, because they're building a lot of schools and so forth, but as a result of that, after they did it, they increased their earnings tax collections by $1.3 million. Now, those were people who before that weren't paying taxes. And the cost is enormous to local, the loss. And those losses, those people that aren't paying, are making the workers' comp rates for businesses that are honest be higher. They're costing the taxpayers. They're basically cheating. And there's about $1 trillion in the underground economy. And it's not just illegals, but the presence of illegals accelerates and aggravates that problem, adds to it enormously, because not all people in the underground economy are illegals, but most illegals are in the underground economy, because that's where they live. So appreciate the support of the commission. I appreciate the work of the sheriff.
I just wanted to add one thing, that the sheriff doesn't have any authority, even with this training, to do operations on his own. All operations must be supervised by the ICE officer in charge. So we will not be out at all on our own to do a roundup or anything. All operations must be supervised by ICE. Just a little bit more information. This touches so many people. I'm sure you all know, but my answer machine fills up every day with people complaining about losing their jobs. I get calls from the Bakers Union. I didn't even know there was one. The Plasterers Union, the Carpenters Union, the Finishers Union. Thousands, literally. I didn't know there were so many businesses in Butler County, but it looks like it touches a large majority of our bigger businesses. It's unbelievable how many calls I get from people that say, I'm losing my house, I have three kids, I don't know what to do. Why? They've given my job to an illegal. And I get literally thousands of those calls. My answer machine fills every day, just so you know how big this thing is.
And I think
I'd just like to say this is the proper way to do it, Jeff, and I appreciate the sheriff taking the stance. This gives you the authority and the documentation, obviously, that you need to handle the situation, to handle it right. So,
thank you.
I support it wholeheartedly. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to address County Commission this time? Any commissioners have anything?
Just want to point out that the fella, are you Evan?
I'm Evan.
You're Evan? You want to tell him what you're working on and why you're here? I asked him if he was somehow related to this Michael Moore character. Evan, why don't you come up here and introduce yourself to the commission?
My name is Evan Joyner, and this is my friend Kobe Libby, and we're making a documentary film. We're students at Yale University. I grew up in Cincinnati, and so I had heard that there had been a lot going on about their county in terms of changing demographics, and we're doing a documentary on changing racial demographics in the country. So we contacted Commissioner Fox, and he welcomed us. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Good luck.
Commissioner
Good
luck. Fox will do anything to get into the movies.
You know, that's right. I did not seek him out.
Bechtel wants some, you know, resistance.
It's never free when you deal with Mike.
But I want you to know I do have a SAG card, so I'm on.
Move to turn.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes. Yes.
Thanks.